The following show is closed captioned for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
All right, yesterday, the U.S. Senate voted to raise the debt ceiling. There will not be another conflict over this year. This is being portrayed in the media. Let's just take CNN. The Senate voted Wednesday to avert at least one chronic Washington political crisis for another year with a snowstorm bearing down on the Capitol. It approved a House pass measure that allows the government to borrow more money to pay its bills through March 2015. The headline on that CNN story, Senate passes debt ceiling plan in blow to Tea Party. Joining us now to talk about that, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin. Senator, good morning.
Morning, Jerry. How are you doing?
Good, sir. Are you stuck in D.C. or where are you with the blizzard?
Yes, I am. Got about 8 or 9 inches of snow, which pretty well shuts this town down. Hopefully get back to Wisconsin tomorrow.
There's all sorts of things that shut down that town that don't shut down the rest of America, Senator.
We should shut it down a few more times, huh?
Well, funny you should put it that way. Let's talk about that. Now, you oppose...
Jerry, let me first say, you know who this is a blow to?
Okay, go ahead.
Not the Tea Party. This is a blow to our children and grandchildren. That's who this is really a blow to. But go ahead and ask your question.
Well, I guess that's what I was going to say. You didn't support shutdown as a strategy for defund, but you did vote against closure, and you did vote against this. Does that mean you would have been willing to shut down the government this time?
We would not have been shutting it down. The debt ceiling is the most manufactured crisis of all of these. There's no reason to get all worked up in terms of what would happen if we don't increase the debt ceiling. Let me explain why. In our current budget, which, you know, we have started reducing the deficit. It's still enormous, more than $500 billion per year is what the estimate's going to be. But you've got revenue that's going to be more than 80% of what we're going to spend coming in. Okay, so you've got, it's probably closer to 85, who knows exactly the right figure. Okay, so you've got 80% of our expenditures covered by revenue. Social Security is more than 20% of what we spend. Now, you actually have the Social Security Trust Fund. It has U.S. government bonds. Now, Douglas Elmendorf finally admitted that, you know, to the federal government, in its current form, the trust fund bonds have no value to the federal government because you have an asset in the trust fund offset by a liability of the Treasury. So it nets to zero. The only value of those Social Security bonds is in a case like this, if the government can't float other debt because we won't increase the debt ceiling, those bonds can be sold to other people to fund Social Security benefits. So in other words, for the next 2 or 3 years, if we did not increase the debt ceiling, everything the government spends would be covered by either tax revenue or revenue coming in by selling those trust fund bonds. So there's absolutely no reason to threaten default. It's a manufactured crisis. That's why it was easy for me to vote no. We should not be increasing the debt burden on our kids and grandkids without enacting some pretty significant additional financial discipline, some reforms to these long-term programs that are unsustainable, that will not be available to the future generations whose, you know, future we are currently mortgaging. So, I mean, what we're doing is utterly immoral. At some point in time, it's got to stop. I truly regret that we didn't debate this in a far more open and robust fashion prior to just, passing it and slinking out of town.
By the way, I agree with what you just said, but I want to set it up that way because, you know, those are the things that are going to be said. Now, I want to talk about the political element of this, and I want to read from CNN. To Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer of New York, the defeat of the filibuster bid by Cruz signaled that the American political world is moving in our direction. Republicans are trying to put Tea Party politics in the rearview mirror, he said. Do you agree or disagree with that?
No, I think what you did see in terms of rally situation is, you know, Boehner and McConnell are acknowledging the fact that Democrats like Chuck Schumer have no problem whatsoever increase the debt burden on our kids and grandkids without doing anything to solve the problem. So we don't have the votes here. We realize the media is not on our side in this thing. We realize the media will whip America into a frenzy over not increasing the debt ceiling. So it's just basically the acknowledgement of reality that it's probably a fight that we can't win. And we would not be able to win because we know that President Obama refuses to sign any kind of bill that actually solves these problems. So, you know, I think this is just a political acknowledgement that let's get this behind us. Let's move forward and have the election in 2014 concentrate on all the harm, all the reduction of security that President Obama's policies have been really, imposing on the American people.
Talking with U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. All right, let's talk about that. And even before I knew I was going to have you on, I've been getting emails. Hey, the next time Senator Johnson or the next time Congressman Ribble is on, as you know, there's been another unilateral modification of the Affordable Care Act, which clearly is not the constitutional purview of the president. But beyond that, a chilling element in there that Treasury is essentially going to make people swear that they didn't reduce the workforce to avoid the mandates of Obamacare. There are people out there saying, when are Republicans going to really call this what it is? I mean, Paul Ryan has lawlessness. Now, you have already dealt with an element.
Go ahead. I've been saying this is a lawless administration for 3 years. You know, I mean, I'm not a very big voice on the national scene, but no. And let's face it, Jerry, the main reason I filed that lawsuit against the Office of Personnel Management ruling, you know, the special treatment for members of Congress on Obamacare, what wasn't because I oppose employers contributing to their employees' health care, it's to uphold the rule of law, to make the point, to highlight in this one instance where I believe a senator can establish standing in front of court of law to overturn a ruling, to make the point that this is just one out of dozens of instances of this president not upholding his oath of office, not faithfully executing the law. No, there's nobody more frustrated by the lawlessness in this administration. I've been calling it a lawless administration for years.
Okay, based on what you just said, failing to uphold his constitutional responsibilities, a lawless administration, can you have it both ways? Because the word that Republicans don't want to use because they're afraid they'll be labeled as extreme is impeachment. Can you call this a lawless administration without talking about impeachment?
Yes, because, again, I'm a pretty reality-based guy. The House could potentially vote for impeachment. I'm not sure they'd get that vote or not. I mean, you do need to do it under the right grounds in terms of high crimes and misdemeanors, which is a pretty general term, and I'm not sure people have properly defined that. I remember that was a big debate during the Clinton impeachment, probably during the Nixon impeachment. The reality is the Senate would be the body that would have to convict the president on impeachment. And so we could go through all that political process of trying to impeach the president in the House. It would go nowhere in the Senate when I believe what we need to be concentrating on is highlighting for the American people the damage, the heart-wrenching harm being done to Americans because of this assault on our freedom called Obamacare. And we need to be pointing out to the American people how, as much as President Obama talks about security, his programs are reducing our job security, our income security, our retirement security, our national security. I'd rather keep the focus on the primary issues as opposed to, you know, a strategy designed for failure again, which is what trying to impeach this president would probably result in.
And I agree with the political realities, but before I double back on something you just said, I want to ask you again, setting the political realities aside, if you had, you being Republicans, the political wherewithal, do you believe these are impeachable offenses?
Yeah, Jerry, I'm not an attorney, and so I really don't know, you know, what rises to a high crime and misdemeanor. I'd want to hear the whole case argued. I do know it's wrong. I do know that this president has exceeded his legal authority. Now, whether it rises to the threshold of a high crime and misdemeanor, I don't know. I'd have to see the evidence presented to me. I'd really want to see attorneys, you know, constitutional attorneys, argue that case.
Well, I push you on that because lawless is a powerful word, and it
suggests it is. Well, but again, I think it's an accurate statement. But is lawless the same thing as a high crime and misdemeanor, which is what it has to rise to the threshold for impeachment?
Well, Lawless is breaking the law. But I understand what you're saying. I do, though, want to double back on what you talked about, the consequences. 75% of Americans, according to a Fox News Opinion Dynamic, I believe it is, poll yesterday, disagree with his strategy of the end run around you folks in Congress. All right, it's bad politically, but I'm guessing for him, but that number is that high because Americans are finally realizing what he's doing, and not just how those specific changes, Senator, are dangerous, but the precedent that set here. And why couldn't a Republican president in 2016 just pick up on that and suspend the Affordable Care Act indefinitely?
I'm not sure what your poll was about there, but again, what we need to do is we need to start winning elections. I mean, right. Nobody's more frustrated than me that we didn't win 2012, so we actually had a serious individual who's president of the United States willing to work with other serious individuals, you know, like Republicans in the Wisconsin delegation. There were some pretty serious folks that are actually willing to take the political risk to start solving some of these problems. But we lost the 2012 election. Harry Reid is still the majority leader in the Senate. I regret that. I'm highly frustrated by it, which means we need to focus on winning the election in 2014. In order to do that, we need to be united, and we need to be focusing our attention on President Obama, on Harry Reid, and on their policies that are putting this country's economic security at high risk.
I really
don't want to be firing at each other here, because that's pretty counterproductive. Okay. We've got 9 months left, 10 months left before the election. I want to focus all of our attention on the harm that Obamacare is doing to this country.
Yeah, Senator, I think you misheard me or didn't quite hear what I was saying. 3/4 of Americans disagree with him going around you.
That's a good sign. Yeah. That's a good poll. We need to take that and translate that into 75% of Americans voting for.
Exactly.
Let's put it this way: a majority of Republicans in the Senate, and then hopefully 75% of Americans putting in a real president that's, you know, really serious about solving these problems in 2016.
But to your earlier point, his tendency to do this I still think is being taken too lightly by a lot of people because. There's a reason he's pushing it off. He knows how bad it's going to be, and he wants his party to get reelected in 2014. But the future legacy, he has set a precedent here where any president could do this.
I understand, Jerry. So we push back where we can. I mean, Republicans did file an amicus brief on the what appears to be now unconstitutional recess appointments to the NLRB and the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. We push back. We've won that at every stage. Hasn't gone to the Supreme Court yet. I filed my lawsuit in this one area where I'm hoping I can establish standing. That's no slam dunk, but I'm doing that. You know, we do have something called the Congressional Review Act, but that's even though that's allows us to challenge these regulations, and I think we will do that on a more regular basis, it will still require currently at least 5 or 6 Democrats to join with us to overturn Lawless regulations. You know, we need to have the votes here in Congress, and it's obvious that we don't have those votes. So the final solution, the lasting solution, is in winning elections where we have people running for office that are, first of all, dedicated not to growing the federal government, but start limiting it, start reducing its size in relationship to our economy. And we didn't do that in 2012. You know, I'm going to work hard to make sure we do it in 2014.
U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, thanks a lot for joining us.
Have a great day, Jerry.
All right. I want to comment a little bit on some of the things the senator just said, including, look, we can't win the fight right now, and this is something a lot of you are tired of hearing. You have to give us more power. I want to address that in 5 minutes. It's 9:20.
Join the Jerry Bader Facebook fan page. Go to jerrybadershow.com.